Today's Shir is Masech
Techul and Daf Nun Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Zayin and Be'ez, the last words on the Amid. Says the Mar Amar Amei Mahani Be'ez the Trefa. If we have eggs that are born from that are hatched from a chicken, that is a Trefa. So he teaches us Shech Lekama, the eggs that are there when it's pregnant the first time, Asira. Those eggs may not be eaten because they were in the mother's womb, when the mother became treif, and since the mother became treif, they became treif along with her. And in other words, when the mother of an egg is a treifa, that will make the child of that mother a treifa. No different than halacha if, for example, we have an animal which is a treifa, then the milk that comes from that animal is treif. Similar here, that the mother is a treifa and this egg is in that mother's stomach, so there the halacha is that it's a treifa. The halacha, however, is that if you'll have an egg that is hatched from a mother that's treifa, so while it's an egg, as we're saying, we're not allowed to eat that egg. But that if that egg is left to form into a chicken, then it won't be treifa, because that process of the egg becoming a chicken means that the egg became completely deteriorated, and therefore its treifa status falls away. But let's say if this mother chicken gets pregnant again and it will have a baby, their halacha will be mikam ve'elach havalei zev zagar mutter. Because when the chicken was a treifa, as we're saying, anything that comes from a treifa is a treifa as well. But when an egg is created between a rooster and a hen, and even if the hen is a treifa, the rooster is not a treifa. And they both contributed to the making of this egg. So we have here a situation of zevez agayrim. We have two different influences making this happen. And whenever we have two different influences happening, we consider both of them. And that's why the chicken will be considered, the egg will be fine. Even though, of course, asked Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, we're going to learn, and the halacha is that uba yerech imay. So if iba yerech imay, so why are we not concerned that the mother is a treifa and it's part of the mother? So he explains that only somebody that was created after the mother was a treifa and there's no other influence, that's when we'll say uba yerech imay. But here, where there was another influence in the creation of this egg, then the halacha is that it'll be considered not a vad of teifa. But as the tzlach, if we're taking this approach to understanding the Gemara, so why do you only speak about the beya of a treifa? What about the vlad of a treifa? And obviously, we say zev zagarim mutter. It seems, as the tzlach, that Amem is telling us a chiddush. And what is the chiddush here? Says the tzlach, that the halacha, if zev zagarim mutter, would normally only be applied when each one of the causes that made this come about could have made it happen by itself. So there we'll say zev zagarim mutter. But here, obviously, you can't have an egg without the rooster and the hen. Since you can't have an egg without both the rooster and the hen, and each one by themselves can't create that it should be mutter, maybe over here we wouldn't say zev is a, over here we wouldn't say zev is a goyrim. That's why a mame is coming to teach us that even though each one of these, the chickens by themselves, cannot make this baby be born, one without the other, we still don't say we still say zevazagarim. This svara of zevazagarim mutter, zevazagarim eser, so I saw that Mechobe Weissmandel Zatzal asked the question that why are we focused on the fact that there's a garim that's mutter, there's a garim that's usser. So what's the reason we focus on the heter and not on the isser? So he says that's the power when two things are coming together. When two things are coming together, the halach of zevazagarim mutter teaches us that we look at each one, and we're not able to ignore one because of the other. That's why we apply the concept. Of zevazagarim, and we'll say that everything is fine here. Continues the Gemara, Eisve Rav Asher Lameima. How can we say, asks he, because that the egg that was created after the mother was treif is mutter? And the reason we're explaining this is because we apply the concept of zevazagarim mutter. He asked, v'shavin, we're going to learn in a Mishnah Masechta Tumura. Rabbi Eleza and the Chachamim have a debate by a vlad treifa. Rabbi Eleza says that the vlad of a treifa cannot be brought as a carbon, and the Chacham say that it can be brought as a carbon. And the Mishnah, the Brice of the Mishnah over there explain, the Shava based treifa she asura, everybody agrees that the egg of a treif is asur, neshigodlusur. So we see that even if you're just the child of a treifa and there is no father involved, that the halacha is that there is a father involved, it doesn't make it mutter. We're still saying that it's going to be usur. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, we're not speaking about an egg that was fertilized from a male and a female, but rather explains the Gemara there, we're speaking about a case, the Safta Ma'ara, where the egg was fertilized just from the heat. The hen was fertilized without a male, and since it was fertilized that way, that's why there's no zevazagarim, because we don't have the father to take consideration. But ask the Gemara, according to the way we're learning in our Gemara today, we should have said a different answer. What can we say? We're speaking here about the first egg that, as we've been learning, that was there when the mother was already in the mother's womb, the mother's stomach, and there, as we said, as we started the shiur, the father has no influence. And since in that case, the father has no influence, that's why the mother is the only influence. And since the mother is the only influence, that's why we're going to say it's treif. Says the Gemara, if that's the case that we're speaking about, the wording of that brisa would be somewhat imprecise, because the brisa spoke about godla be'isser. It shouldn't have said godla be'isser. The brisa should have said gomra me'boile. It should have said that the egg was already created, and now we're speaking about gomroi. Now we're speaking about it being finished, and therefore, since it's being finished at that point, so that's why it's not considered. That's why it's not. It's that's not the case that brisa is speaking about. Ask the Gemara el hadatan. Ask the Gemara another question. The Mishnah teaches us, Vlad treifa, if we have the Vlad of an animal to treifa, Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that it should not be put on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Shua Yekrev, that it may be put on the Mizbeach. Suggest the Gemara of Maika Mufki, what is the basis of the Machlokes? We have to say, Shenitrefa, that the animal became treif, Lubsoif Ibra. So there we have both influences, the father and the mother, and the machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, as Rabbi Elazar says, zevazagarim asur, we look at both of them. Even if we look at both of them, as long as the mother is there, and she's treif, that'll make the baby an issue. Rav Shusa is zevagarim mutter. That zevagarim mutter, and therefore we look at both parents. And if the father is mutter, then it'll be enough to make the mother, to make the baby mutter. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to explain that machloikis. So ask the Gemara, ihachi, ad mifilgi legavaya, instead of having a machloikis, if it could be, if such a situation, if it could be brought as a carbon, why not? Why can't we even say that the machloikis would be if we're allowed to eat that egg? Or if we're allowed to eat that baby? If we're going to say that we don't hold zevazeh garim as mutter, so then if the mother's a treifa, it should already become usher. Answers the Gemara, Lodiyacha Kachad Rabbi Shua. We're trying to teach us how far Rabbi Shua is lenient. And Rabbi Shua is lenient to the degree that the vlad treifa that is mutter because of zevazeh garim, a filo gvaya namishari may even be used to bring as a carbon. So ask the Gemara, instead of showing us how lenient Rabbi Shua is, why don't we learn how strict Rabbi Eliezer is? The lifagi lehejit, let's have a machlokes of a hejit could eat it, to teach us lodiyacha kaychad Rabbi Eliezer, to show us how lenient Rabbi Eliezer is, lafil lehejit namiyasa, that even a hejit may not have this egg. Answers the Gemara, kaych datere difalei. This is a rule that comes up often in Shas, and that is the concept of kaych datere difalei. And the way to understand the concept of kaych datere difalei, the way to understand that concept they saw is Rashi explains in Masech Tebeya. Rashi in Masech Tebeya says that when somebody is not sure what the halach is, the first reaction is to be machmer. You'll know, you'll certainly be safe if you'll be machmer. To be makel, to be lenient, takes the ability to see through the question and therefore, and take the lenient position. And that's why the Gemara prefers to say that, prefers to single out the heter more than the esser. Moidim continues the Gemara, Bebei Trefesh Asura. But now it says the Gemara, based on what we've been learning, that there is a case where everybody will agree that the egg that was formed is Osir, the Safnam Ara, as we explained before. We refer here to a situation where the egg was fertilized by heat. So in such a case, there is no two parents involved. There's only the father involved. And that's a case of Chad Goyrim. So the only reason we're being lenient is because we're following the concept of Zev Zeh Goyrim. But in such a situation, there is no ability to say Zev Zeh Goyrim. So we're learning in our Gemara that a Maimer is teaching us that there's a difference in halacha between where the eggs were there after the mother became a treifa, that we're learning that the eggs were there after the mother became a treifa, that the halacha will be that we're not allowed to eat that egg, versus a case where the egg was formed before the mother was a treifa. Says the Gemara, Rav Acha Savolik Rav Acha B'Yakov, Rav Acha holds like Rav Acha B'Yakov that says that a treifa could have a baby, Masnala Meimer. And if we're going to learn that way, so the Gemara, as we've been learning it now, Kramaran, is very understandable. Because if we're going to not learn that way, because says the Gemara, Ravina Laisovalak Rav Acha B'Yakov, Ravina doesn't agree with Rav Acha B'Yakov, and he says that a hen cannot have eggs after the baby, after it became treif. So here we're speaking about a case, a maimer is speaking about a case where the mother became treif. But if the mother became treif, how is it possible that she was able to have a baby afterwards? So he's going to explain maskala lameima b'hai lishna. He's going to explain what a maimer is teaching us in our shiur today this way. Amar maimer, a maimer teaches us, hani bei the suffolk treifa, if we have the eggs that were born from a chicken that's a suffolk treifa, the shechla kama, when it's from the, it was pregnant after the animal became a treifa, machinale, we have to put it to the side. Because we have a chicken, we have a hen, that we're not sure is the hen treif or not? If it's treif, as we're learning, it would affect the children, as the egg as well. So we're going to have to see is the following. E hadrivatana, if this hen again gets pregnant, so to speak, sharyan, because the fact that it was able to get pregnant is clearly an indication that it's not a treifa. Because as we're learning in our shir, according to this opinion, a treifa can't get pregnant. Eloi, but if the chicken does not get pregnant again, a sirin, now we don't know, was it a treifa or not? We're not certain, but there's a question that it was a treifa. And since we have a question it was a treifa, we would not be allowed to eat the baby. Eisei asked the Gemara, Eisei Ravashi Lameimar, how can we say, he asks, that a Tanagoilus treifa cannot have eggs? The Mishnah Masechta Temura, Daflamar Mebeis, teaches us that a machloikis, as we learned earlier in our shir, what is the status of a Vlad treifa? The Reb Lezer says that the Vlad of a treifa is a surah, and the Chum hold, the Vlad treifa is muteris. Umoidim, and the Mishnah says, Bebeis treifa is a surah. That we agree that the bay that was born from a mother that's a treifa may not be iser, may not be eaten. But how could that be? We're saying now that ain't bay or treifa, that a treifa can't have a baby. Amalei, so he answers that way we explained before, the shikla kama. That means that the chicken was pregnant before it became a treifa. Imkain. So if that's the case, neshigodla means that it got pregnant when it was already treifa. The right wording should be gomra bebeile, that the chicken was not pregnant. The chicken was fine when it got pregnant. And then after it got pregnant, after it got pregnant, that's when it became a treifa. And it contributed, obviously, to the growth of this egg. And the right word should be, therefore, says the Gemara, Gomra, Riboyle, the right word should be Gomra. Answers the Gemara, indeed. Tani, change the Graisa and say Gomra. Elohad the Tanan asked the Gemara, the other Machlaikas we learned earlier in our Shir. Vlad Trefer, there's a Machlaikas, how to treat a Vlad Trefer. It should not be brought in Mizbech. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a Yikr, maybe. Says the Gemara, what is the Machlaikas? B'Shivra. Now we're going to have to explain the machloikas entirely different. Now we're going to explain the machloikas Ibrahim Saif Nitrifa, when it was pregnant and then it became treif. Rabbi Lezer Sava Uba Yerach Imahu. Rabbi Lezer is going to hold we follow the opinion of Uba Yerach Imai, and if the mother's treif, the child is treif. Rabbi Shuva Sava Uba Lav Yerach Imai, just because the mother's treif, it doesn't affect the status of the child. So ask the Gemara if that's the machloikas, Idachi Adam Mifigil Gavaya. If they're, instead of arguing when it may be brought as a carbon, lifikla behedjet, because if we say uba yerach imai, and the mother's a treif, that should make the child a treif. Answers the Gemara lo diyachu kaychad Rabbi Shua, to show us that this egg could even be, this could be brought even to the mizbeach. So I asked the Gemara, lifikla behedjet lo diyachu kaychad Rabbi Lezer, why don't we talk about a hedjet to show us how lenient Rabbi Lezer is? How strict Rabbi Lezer is, that even a hedjit may not eat it, and says the Gemara, Kach da tera difalei. Umoidim vadai, say the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua certainly agree, the bay is treifa, shasur b'dashikla kama, that the eggs that were in its mother's stomach when it became treif, there the halacha is that it's treif. My tama, what's the reason under those circumstances? Gufahi, because it's part of the mother. And a case where it's part of the mother, connected to the mother, and growing from the mother, it's treif. Furthermore, the hilchasa, the zachar, what do we do by a zachar? We wait shneim asachaydish, 12 months, and if it survives 12 months, that's a proof that the zachar is not a treif. It was treif, but in the keva, how do we know that a female chicken is not a treifa? Kol sheni yoledes. Until she has a baby, she's a suffix. But once she has a baby, it doesn't make a difference how much time, passed. Once it got pregnant and had a baby, that is clear proof that it is not a treifa. So our Gemara just established Talocha, that by a Zohar, it's 12 months, and by a female, it's conceiving, giving birth. And the Pri Chodesh says, what does it mean that we make this determination by an Akeva? So the Pri Chodesh says that the significant factor is conception. As soon as we have a Sefik Trefa that is able to conceive, we see it's not a Trefa. Mashal disagrees that a Sefik Trefa must conceive and survive the full term of pregnancy before we can establish that it's not a Trefa. The Chaimish Yishlaim is that it's possible for a Trefa to conceive and give birth to a Nefil. He says that also is still a question if the mother's a Trefa. The only time we could be confident that the mother's not a Trefa is if it conceives and gives birth to a viable baby. The Pri Chodesh says a Chiddush. He says, just like we're learning a female Trefa cannot give birth, and therefore the fact, different opinions that we just learned, conception, birth, is a proof that she's not a Trefa. So too, he says, a male Trefa cannot father offspring. So if we see that a male Suffolk Trefa was able to cause a female to conceive, it's right, it's not a Trefa. The Pesach Tshuva actually disagrees. He says our Gemara clearly differentiated between a male and a female. Or by a female, the Gemara was focused on its ability to conceive and have a baby. By the male, the Gemara was only focused on the fact that it survived 12 months. So the Gemara says, from here we see that there's a very big difference between males and females. Pesach Tshuva says, and by males, the only proof is that if it was able to survive 12 months. If it wasn't able to survive 12 months, then we have to be concerned that we have no proof about being a Trefa. The Gemara says the Gemara, Amrav Huna, Kol Be'erishein by Etzem, any creature that doesn't have a bone, Einam Eskayim Shneim Asachaydish, it cannot survive for 12 months. And we're going to see a Daf Gemina for these halachas, why 12 months? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa Shmamina, Rav Huna, says the Rapapa, based on what Rav Huna just taught us, Hadam Shmuel. Shmuel speaks about the following situation. Kishosh Yitlu Be'ever. If you have a cucumber that got wormy while it was still connected to the ground, Asura, we're not allowed to eat that worm. Because the halacha is that what type of sheretz is also to eat? Sheretz Hashoyretz ala oritz, a worm that goes on the ground. Now, it's not considered sheretz asur. It's not considered sheretz hasheretz ala oritz until it goes out of the fruit or vegetable and walks there. So here we have a question: when was this created? Was this created when it was when the fruit was still connected, or was it created afterwards? And says the Gemara, therefore, Hani Tami the Kamada, that we have these dates that became spoiled, that got wormy while they're still in the basket, and we don't know if they became wormy while they were connected to the tree, and since they were connected to the tree, that's why they're considered sheretz al aretz, or maybe they only became wormy while the dates were in the basket. And if they became wormy and the dates were in the basket, so there was nothing connected to the ground. And there's a machloikis, Rashi, and other Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara when we speak about sheretz hasheretz ala oretz, that if it was connected, if the fruit, the vegetable was still connected, and it became wormy then, it's osur. Rashi says that the fact that it was on the tree or connected to the ground and became wormy, that is enough to make it be considered sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Other Rishonim say that's not enough to make it sheretz hasheretz al aretz because it's in the fruit. It's only going to be considered sheretz ha-sheretz ala-aretz if it's in the fruit or vegetable that's connected, and it walks within that fruit, it walks within that vegetable, then it's sheretz ha-aretz. So then the question is, here we have these dates. We don't know when the dates became wormy. Did they become wormy while they were still in the ground? Did they become wormy earlier or later when they're not anymore connected to the ground? And since we don't know when they became wormy, we have to be machmer and treat it like sheretz or sheretz aretz. However, says the Gemara, lebasa treisa yachishata, after they were in that barrel for 12 months, sharyun, they were allowed to eat those dates. Because certainly if they were in the basket for 12 months after they were collected from the ground, they wouldn't have survived. Because as we said a minute ago, these worms don't have the ability to survive. So the fact that they still survived is a proof that they became wormy only in the basket. And since they only became wormy in the basket and they were never walking on the ground, they're not going to be considered sheretz or sheretz al aretz, and they're not asur. So our Gemara is focused on something being able to be here for 12 months. The question that I saw the Paradis Yosef asks, well, we know that there were all sorts of worms and creatures that were with Noach in the Teva, and Noach was in the Teva for more than 12 months. Says the Paradis Yosef, if we look in the Pasuk by the Mabel, the Pasuk says, Kol roi mitzah oretz l'mishbechoseyem yotzu min ha-teva. So Chazal explained l'mishbechoseyem v'loy heim, that the ones that actually entered the teva were not the ones that came out. Because, as we said, they couldn't survive 12 months. It was the mishbechoseyem that was their families, their children, which is a chiddush, because we know that there was no children created in the teva. It seems this is different. These shrotzim that can't survive past 12 months did apparently have children in the teva. We speak here about the halacha about worms in peiros and vegetables, and knowing when that worm was formed is a very important issue in the halacha of what we may eat them. As we know that anything that is infested, the halacha is that we have to be very careful, that many isurim involved in eating them. But it's very interesting that I saw that the Makor Chaim asks a question. We know, and of course, whenever we have something that might be infested, it's a mi'ach and a matzui, which means, according to the Mishkan Siyakov, 10%, but I did see other Paiskin, Rav Ozner Zatzal, Rav Yoshua Zatzal, that say it's even less than 10%, anywhere from 5 to 7%. The halacha is we have to inspect them before we eat them. He says, the question is, why is there a halacha that by vegetables and fruits, as we just said, we have to inspect them to see if they are infested? Why is that not the halacha? But we don't make a bracha when we check them. Whereas, as we know, by chametz, we make a bracha to check for the chametz. And the answer is, because by chametz, the halacha is tashbisu. We have an obligation to get rid of all chametz. Since we have an obligation to get rid of chametz, that's why we have to check the home, investigate our home if there's any chametz. However, when we speak about taloyim, we're not obligated to eat these fruits and vegetables. What the halacha tells us is that if we want to eat these fruits and vegetables and there's a concern that they might be infested, we have to check. So that's why there's no obligation to do this, and that's why there's no bracha. Our Gemara also just taught us that worms cannot survive past 12 months. There's a very important question that the Shal Shetshuvos Chacham Tzvi speaks about. And that is, sometimes we'll have a dish or a keli that can't be kashered. And what happens, we learned many times, for example, kli cheres. And the kli cheres, earthenware, there's no way to kasher kli cheres. And the question that comes up, if there's no way to kasher kli cheres, does that mean that once the kli cheres becomes treif, that it's not usable ever? So the Chacham Tzvi says a very big chiddush. He says, here our Gemara is teaching us that when something is treif, if something is after 12 months, it turns into dust. So suggest the Chacham Tzvi, in a situation where we have no other option, how to kasher it. So if and it means disposing of a good keli, he suggests that what the halacha would allow us to do is put away that keli that became non-kosher and non-kasherable for 12 months. But the halacha and the Shari Tshuva quotes that psak. There are others that don't agree with that psak. The fact that it was said here, it was only by insects that they dissolve, but not by a blia that normally that survives past 12 months. The Shaila Shetshuvas Igros Moshe, or Moshe speaks about this, and he says that when there's a number of such issues to think about, number one, it's expensive keli that we're going to make you throw out. Number two, the Shaila Ramosha discusses a Shaila where there were people that became Bali Tshuva and they had dishes, etc., that now they're going to be told that they have to dispose of everything. And we want to encourage and make it easier for them to become Bali Tshuva. Doing something like that, like this, was saying that all of your dishes, your china, and your everything else have to be thrown out, is not the way we encourage people to become Bali Tshuva. So under those circumstances, Ramosha takes a more lenient approach, and he also adds that even though he's going to rely on the Chacham Tzvi and tell you that you could kasher after 12, tell you wait 12 months, he says, when I say wait 12 months, he says, I mean to do Hagolah, that even though normally we don't do Hagolah on earthenware, here we're going to at least have to do a hagolah plus the waiting of the 12 months. Amra Rav, less baka bayoyma, that there is no insect, ant, that could survive past one day. Veles the dit v'bashata, and there is no fly that could survive, he says, past 12 months. Amra Le Papa Labaya v'amri inchi, don't people say, shav shani imra baksa mebaka, that for 7 years there was the wife of a aunt that stayed away from her husband, the Amrala, because the reason she took this approach is she said, Chaziti l'ba mechuzah, the soch b'maya, I saw somebody from our city mechuzah that was sitting in the water, then the ichrich b'sadinen, and then he covered himself up with good blankets to keep himself warm. And then you went and bit and took out blood from this individual. And you didn't tell me that you did this. So we see that the ant could survive 7 years. So Bai said to Rapapa, and according to what you say, people say, a weight of 60 mana of iron they put the ant carries, says the Gemara. Mi ika ka iuguf, is that possible? Iugufa ka mahava. And he says, how big is this entire ant that you're suggesting it could carry such a huge weight? Ella, how must we understand that saying? We have to understand that saying the monitor the two, that we're counting according to weight in their weight system. In other words, that the weight system, what they use for weighing and describing a weight is in their system, not in our system. Hachanami, he says the Gemara, when we speak about years, it means b'shnei the two, and their years, but not in the not in our years. The many different explanation. Obviously, this Gemara cannot be understood simply. Indeed, I saw that many explain that the number 60. That's the number 60 that's used here is a very difficult number, and they say that many times when the Gemara wants to exaggerate, that they use the number 60. I saw one pshat that Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita explains this Gemara. He says, indeed, this aunt and his wife only live one day, and what the Gemara is saying is if somebody only has one day to survive, he should use that one day that he has to survive in a most productive, constructive manner. And what the Gemara is saying is to look at this aunt and his wife. They only have one day to survive. And instead of focusing on that one day that they have to survive, on what's important, they're arguing that how did you suck the blood without inviting me to suck the blood? Another explanation is that we are very much influenced by our wives. And what happens here is that the lesson here is that a person who is fortunate to have a great wife, whose wife is the one that influences him to do what's right. And what happens here is that if you have a wife who's not that way, so she's encouraging you to suck the blood of other people. And therefore, the Gemara is teaching us how important it is that we should have wives who are here to help us do the right thing, not to do the wrong thing. Tanan Hassan, says the Gemara, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Becheiros Daf Mem Amud Aleph. As we've said, the Mishnayos in Masechta Becheiros are very focused on what is considered a balmum. And the Mishnah says the behemah by Bechor, what's a balmum regarding what we bring on the Mizbeach. And it says the behemah ba'al chamish reglaim, if you have an animal with five legs, or she'ena el sholosh, or only has three legs, the lochas ha'reiz a mum, it's considered balmum. To which Rav Huna comments, Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, loy shana, this halach was only said, l'shechos v'yesa b'yad. If it has a missing leg, an extra leg, and one of the front legs. But avaches v'yesa b'regel, if it's missing or extra on the back legs, treifa namihava. It's not only a balmum, but it's actually a treifa. And of course, there's a very big difference between a treifa and a balmum. A balmum is something that we can't bring as a carbon on the mizbeach, but it could be eaten. A treifa, as we're learning so extensively in our shiurim, is something that may not be eaten. My tama explains the Gemara. What we could understand that something that's missing a leg is a treifa, but why if it has an extra leg is it considered a treifa? So the mefarshim will explain that as we're going to learn, kol yesa, something the Gemara says kol yesa when it's extra kenotl. What does that mean? What that means is that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the best example I could give, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with two legs, a Kadosh Baruch Hu also creates us with the amount of energy that's needed to sustain two legs. But if somebody, Chas V'Sholom, is going to have three legs, what that represents is that he has the same amount of energy, but that energy is not going to be divided amongst two legs. That energy is going to be divided amongst three legs. Since that energy is going to be divided amongst three legs, so no one leg is going to get adequate energy. Since no one leg is going to, under those circumstances, get adequate energy, that's why it's considered a treifa. Says the Gemara, Hahi Chayusa, there was an animal, the Havle Tati Sagya Bibi. It had two stomachs. Aser l'Ravina, this animal was brought to Ravina v'tarfa, and he said it's treif, mid Rav Huna, as Rav Huna just taught us. However, says the Gemara, v'shafchin la'adadi, if these two stomachs connect to each other, so then it's considered like one stomach, and therefore it's k'shera. Says the Gemara, Hahu guf sodav nafke me kasla lila. There was a pipe of meat that went out, that went from one stomach to the other stomach. Sarav Ashila Mitrafa. The Rashi wanted to say that that's treif because that is an extra organ. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chiya Rav Ashi, kol hani cheve b'reisei, all of the type of animal that was found in that location, hachi islahu, has that organ. And since they all had that organ, that is therefore not an indication of something extra, which we're learning in our shir, when you have something extra. It's a problem, it's what's normal. And if it is what's normal, then we don't have an issue. Says the Gemara, hu gufsa dava ma'abra mebekas lekarsa. Again, the Gemara speaks about a pipe that went from one stomach to the other stomach, which seemingly was super extra. Sava ma'abrav shilakshura. He thought that just like we learned a moment ago, that many animals have this extra stomach, this extra organ here too. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Oishia, so Rav Oishia said to him, just because we identified an animal that has an extra organ, that doesn't mean that in every situation we're going to make that assumption. Rather, he said, where Chazal taught us that it's normal to have an extra organ, good. So then we don't attribute that extra organ to being something abnormal. However, Hechad Loyitmer, where it wasn't taught Loyitmer, and we can't just assume that it's fine. Says the Gemara, Heid Nosen Bashila Rav Tabachi Tzipuri. Rav Nosen Bashila was the main Shoichit in the city of Tzipuri, and he said, Lefnei Rebbe, he said in front of Rebbe, Ashnei Bnei Ma'im Ayotzim and Mehemek Echad, that if you have two different intestines coming out at the same time, one came out from the top of the stomach, and one came out from the middle of the stomach, trefa. That's a trefa because it has an extra pair of intestines. And says, however, if you have such a situation with a bird, shera. Says the Gemara, however, the medvar mamurim, when is it if we have two intestines coming out of an animal, it's treif, sheyotzim b'shnei mekaymus, when they come out of two different spots in the keva. Like we said, one at the top and one in the middle. Avol yotzim makom achad, if they exit from the same place, the kolon at ke'etzpon, and then I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that they get very skinny at the end, or another pshat is that they connect at the bottom, k'shera, says the Gemara. Pliga bar Amri Ravasi and Machloikas Hada was Hudam the Hadiva Amri, that the only time we could declare them kosher is if they recombine. The Chama Afagav the Lohadri Varvi, even if they don't recombine. Says the Marbishlamandam, according to the opinion, Hudadri Avi, that they mix together, Hanediktoni, Adke Etzba, that they come together and they're only an Etzba wide. If they come together and they're only an Etzba wide, then we're going to be satisfied. That even if they don't recombine, what does this mean? My ad ketzpa, says the Gemara, ad ketzpa lamata. That what happens is that even though they don't recombine, but if all of the waste that comes out of the body of this animal comes out together out of one rectum, then it's not a trefa. Rav Yehuda Memnitla Noitza, Rav Yehuda says, if the animal is missing its down, psul its treif. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, Am Davar Echad. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel are following the same opinion. The Gemara explains this. Rav Yehuda HaDamaran, what we just learned, that if it's missing its down, it's considered treif. And the reason it's considered treif goes back to a subject that we've learned previously. It's going to be like an animal that's missing its skin, that we spoke about. An animal that's missing its skin is treif. Rishmol, and the opinion of Rishmol, Rishmol speaks about Hilchas Pigel, the Tanan. Rishmol, I'm a noitzim, Mr. Refes. We know for something to become pigel, you have to have a machsheves pigel. Chutzos manoi, chutz to mekaymoi. The halach is, the machshav is not just chutzos manoi, chutz mekaymoi, but the machshav has to be about kezayis, chutzos manoi, chutz mekaymoi. And when we're talking about getting a kezayis of chutz l'zman and chutz l'mekaymai, the noitza, it combines. So we see that he holds that the Neitzer is like the Or. And just like Pigel, you could make Pigel through a Machshava on the Or, here too you could make Pigel, the Neitzer is considered like the Or. To which Rava comments, Lemelohi. At Kalanakam Rabbi Yehuda Hacha, Rabbi Yehuda here was speaking about Hilchus Treifa. The Lekamini, the Meganala, there's the Or is what the Neitzer, the Dan is what protects the bird, and therefore it's like Or. Aval Inifugule, when we speak about Pigel, there perhaps Krabotan Sfirle, that the Neitzer is not considered like the Or, and if somebody had a Machshevis Pigel on the Neitzer, that won't make the carbon at the Pigel. Furthermore, that kind of cover Shmuel also Elanya Pigule. As far as Pigel is concerned, it's considered Pigel because what's the main consideration by Pigel? If it's edible, and this is something that's edible, Avlin Trefa. But when you speak about Hilchos Trefa, the Or on an animal is what protects the animal, and therefore the Or on the animal protects the animal. Therefore, missing Or is a Trefa. The down keeps the animal warm, but it doesn't aguri lemegid, it doesn't protect the bird, and therefore it's not the same. Achuzus Adam. If an animal has an abundance of blood, it causes it to get sick. For Meshenis, or an animal that had smoke inhalation. For Metsunenis, or an animal that got sick because it was exposed to the cold. For Shalocher Hadun Hadafuni. Hadafuni is a food that is poison. Which is poison for an animal. Or ate the manure of chickens. Or drank bad water. Bad water is water that was left exposed, the halakha that we've spoken about. And since it was left exposed, we have to be concerned that there was snake venom in it. In all these cases, a kshera. The animal is considered still kosher. The question, of course, is that if it was left exposed and an animal drank from it, why should we not be concerned that we shouldn't be allowed to eat that meat because we're going to get that snake venom into our body? And the Mefarshim will explain that the snake venom, as dangerous as it is, when it's absorbed by an animal, it loses its strength. Moreover, the Taz suggests that if it's drank this kind of water, we have to wait and see if the animal survives. Only if we see that the animal is able to survive can we be more lenient. But if the animal ate something which is real poisoning, human poison, when the animal was bitten by a steak, Meteras Mishum Trefa, that doesn't make the animal into a trefa. However, Rasur Mishum Sakana for the Fashas, we can't eat from that animal because of the question of Sakana for the Fashas. Amma Shmuel, Alitah Chiltis, if they served an animal, an herb that's called Chiltis, which is a Sakana for the Fashas for an animal trefa, my Tama, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, the Menak Velela Ma'ane, the Chiltis makes a hole in the stomach of the animal. And as we've learned so extensively in our shiurim, a hole in the stomach of an animal makes a trefa. Masar of Shizzi, answer of Shizzi, the Brisa says, Achuzus Adam, Vamushenes Vishachla Adufni, Vishachla Tsanagolim, Vishasamai Maroim, Hilatia Tiop, which is a very bitter grass, Chiltus, Pilpulin is pepper, Achlusama Mavis, or ate poison Kshera. However, Kisha Nachish, if the animal was bitten by a snake, Nachsha Kalv Shaita was bitten by a rabbit dog, Mitaz Mishum Trefa, there's no Trefa, Mishum Asaran Kavashis. So I asked the Gemara, Kasha Chiltas Achiltas. Here it says that if it ate Chiltas, it's kosher. And Shmuel just taught us that if it ate Chiltas, it's Treif. Furthermore, Kasha Samamavis, Kasha Samamavis. Here, the Brisa says that if it ate Samamavis, you could eat it. And the Mishnah says, if it ate poison, there's a question of Sakaras Nefashis. Answers the Gemara. Chiltas Achiltas Loi Kasha, Kamba Alan, the leaves of the Chiltas, won't necessarily cause that the animal should get a hole in its stomach. Kan Bekartin, when you talk about the actual stalk, that will cause that a hole should form in the animal's stomach. Samamavis, Samamavis Lakasha. Hard day. When we speak about Samamavis not being kosher, it's something that's poison, but it's poisonous for the animal and not for the person. And therefore, humans could eat that animal. Hard the Adam. But if it ate something which is poison for a person, and now that poison is absorbed into the animal, we're not allowed to eat from the animal. Says the Gemara, Sama Mavis the Hemaina Tufuni. Ask the Gemara, but her Tufuni is a type of Sama Mavis for animals. So why does the Braisa say her Tufuni and Sama Mavis? Isn't her Tufuni just another form of Sama Mavis? Answers the Gemara, Trey Gavni Sama Mavis. The Braisa wanted to enumerate two different examples of Sama Mavis.